On a warm summer day in August of 2013, I sat on a couch in our den, staring at the texture of soft padded walls covered in khaki linen. Glancing up, I noticed the olive green and gold twisted trim set in the seams, lining the room where cloth met wooden crown moldings and baseboard. My husband Reese and I had just returned home from dropping our youngest off at college. The house was silent. Tired and drained, I was in a melancholy mood, but not for the reasons you might think. My kids were gone, and I missed them. But I missed myself just as much. Most mothers I knew were distraught by the thought of life after children, and they held on tightly to their kids for as long as they could. In sharp contrast, I could hardly wait for my nest to be empty. Barely hanging on, I was ready to let go and collapse from depletion. I loved being a mother, a wife, and a homemaker. But by the time my children were teenagers, much of my joy was squelched by the never-ending routines of meal prep, carpools, homework, housework, volunteer work, college applications, and people-pleasing. No matter how much I did, it never felt like enough, because there was always more of the same to do. Go to this party or that, be pretty and pleasant in public, listen to people brag about their lives and kids. Go to the gym, wash my hair, have sex with my husband, walk the dog, run errands, put out little fires, host extended family for dinner, prep for holidays, acknowledge birthdays, pay the bills, organize the house, fix what's broken. And just when I crossed the last to-do off my list, it was time to repeat the cycle all over again. Perhaps I could have rebounded with a month of sleep and no kids around the house, but that was not going to happen. Two of my stepsons were married with three children between them, and I was babysitting this weekend. Many women dream of and long for grandchildren. I did too. Nevertheless, I needed a breather to thoughtfully transition from being a mother to being a grandmother. In fact, I was longing to be a grandmother, yearning to bring a sense of the sacred to the forefront of my everyday life. My heart was set on becoming a wise woman elder with a spiritual vocation. I knew where I wanted to go. I just didn't know how to get there. And I didn't want to make a wrong turn. At a crossroads, I needed time and space to explore the deepest meaning of my heart path so I could follow, embody, and express it. 15 years prior, my husband and I had realized a peak of material success and popularity that came with both blessings and burdens. I was grateful for our abundant life, but eventually, the weight of living for external measures tipped me out of balance and crushed my soul. Slowly but surely, it was the animal kingdom that called me to rise from the dead. Curiously, my relationship with animals began with the touch of a bone. First, I found one, and then two, followed by a burst of 3, 4, 5, and 6. When I put my hand to bone, electricity ran through my body. Enlivened, I studied the animal bones and I wondered, to whom did they belong? What purpose did they serve? How did these animals live? And how did they die? In love with the bones, my heart kindled an authentically wild and burning passion that stood in stark contrast to the rest of my life. Late at night, while my family slept, I researched animal anatomy, bone identification, and animal behavior. Harkening back to my ancestors, I also learned the symbolism associated with each animal and their individual parts, which enabled me to receive and interpret profound messages at every encounter. By following my heart, I no longer felt lonely. Instead, I was deeply connected to the animal kingdom, my inner self, and a greater mysterious life force. Looking back, I realized that bone by bone, the animals I found were a metaphor for my personal process of discovering, unmasking, and reconnecting with the scattered parts of my true self.